Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the line with us is the voice of the Eagles. He was great on Sunday. The team was not. Mr. Merrill Reese. Hi, Merrill.
Hi, Ange. How are you?
Merrill, I got to just say, you've been doing this a very long time. Is that in your top 10 of most disappointing Eagles performances?
Yeah, it's got to be right there. It's not the most devastating. I mean, you go about going to that NFC Championship game against Tampa Bay back in the last day of the event, and there are others that were more crushing because of the finality. But in this case, this was among the most disappointing. To play a 2-9 team and to end up giving up a 2-touchdown lead in the third quarter.
Merrill, in all your career as the voice of the Eagles, do you ever not feel it one day and just kind of mail in your performance?
No, I never have. I'm as nervous before every game as I was the first time I ever stepped behind the microphone. No, I feel the energy and I feel the importance of it. No, I've never mailed in anything. This job means too much to me. And what I do, I love to do. So I go out and I give it everything I have.
And you know what, Merrill? I think I do, too. I feel the same way you do. I would be embarrassed if I didn't give my full effort to the people that want to listen. And that's why I am completely confused and upset that both the coach of the team and one of their stars, Brandon Graham, came out yesterday and said the Dolphins wanted it more. Help me to understand how that could even happen.
I don't know. I think it's more an expression than anything else. They're winning the jump balls. They're making the right play at the right time, and the Eagles are stumbling, bumbling, and fumbling, but not in this case. I think it's more expression than anything else. I don't think anybody came out of that locker room and said, I'm just going to go through the motions today. I think it's a sports expression and nothing more than that. I wouldn't read a whole lot into that.
Oh, but I can play you some cuts here. Basically, in the key plays of the game, Brandon Graham is saying, in the key moments in that game, like when you had a ball to Parker, a 50-50 ball, Merrill, Parker was way more aggressive, that they wanted it more. Joe, do we have one of these? I'll play you one of these cuts. He's saying straight out, I'll let you listen to this. Is this Doug or is this Brandon? It's Doug? All right, this is Brandon. This is Brandon Graham. Listen, last night in the players' lounge, Merrill.
On the key downs, we didn't make the plays. And, you know, it was just, man. We lost that game, man. That's the bottom line. We lost that game. They wanted it more.
They wanted it more. Merrill, I don't get it. That game meant 100 times more to the Eagles than it did to the Dolphins. I think a lot of the Dolphins fans wanted them to lose so they get a higher draft pick. I don't get it. You got to help me with this.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But here's the thing, and I walked around yesterday in a fog. I still couldn't believe that they lost to this 2-9 team. But the fact of the matter is, there are four games left. There are four games left. I remember we've invested so much in this team, all of us, the fans, me and Mike, everybody connected. We've invested so much emotionally in this team as we do every year with the Eagles. I remember the Giants, one of their Super Bowls, they were terrible until the end. They won a game that got them into the playoffs with a 9-7 record. And they ended up winning the games they had to win and won the Super Bowl. This season is not over, Angelo. And I know it's hard for us to conjure up hope and optimism. I didn't feel it yesterday morning. But 24 hours have passed, and it's a new week. And it leads up to a Monday night game, which will be dramatic at Baylink. And if you win a game like that, maybe you turn it around. I'm not making any predictions or guarantees, but I'm telling you, we've put too much into this season to say, well, that's it. Let's think about the draft next year. No, they are still in it. If you look at the network TV categories, they're the teams that are in first place when leading their division and the teams that are in the hunt. And the Eagles are still listed as in the hunt. And as long as they're in the hunt, my hopes will still be alive.
I guess that's a message no one's given till you just did, Mel. And 6 hours we've been on the air since the game was over. That's the first time we got that positive message. I appreciate that you gave it to us. Merrill, where are you right now on Wentz? Because a lot of people are looking at him going, you know, talented kid, nice kid, maybe not a great leader. What do you think?
Oh, I think he is a franchise quarterback. I think he's enormously talented. I think he's playing with a lot of heart. You know, let me just go back to one play. Some of the greatest moments in Aaron Rodgers' great career, and I'm not saying that Carson Wentz is Aaron Rodgers at this point, have been when Aaron Rodgers has reached back at the end of games and thrown these amazing arcs into the end zone that have resulted in Hail Mary touchdowns. You know, in the last play of that game, Carson Wentz must have thrown that football 60 yards in the air, and it was in a position where it could have been snared by an eagle. I'm not blaming anyone for not catching it because it's a very low percentage play. But he put the ball in position to make that play. If Alshon Jeffrey miraculously snatches it out of the air, we're celebrating. We're saying, you know what, they're bad. But he gave them a chance to win that game, and they took advantage. And he has made other big plays. It's not a perfect performance, but I thought he played a lot better this week than he did in the previous two, where he really struggled. But I think he's coming out of it. And I'm not down on Carson Wentz. My feeling about him being a franchise quarterback has not changed.
All right, Mel, I got to ask you this, because we have seen in three consecutive weeks the opponents pull trick plays off the Eagles for touchdown. And I just wanted the perspective of a play-by-play broadcaster. When the Dolphins lined up from like the fourth and one, from that spot on the field, what do you think? What, you also have to adjust to something you've never seen before. What is that kind of situation like for the play-by-play guy?
Yeah, it's a tough situation because, first of all, not that I'm complaining because I understand what happens with these stadiums today. We're seated 110 yards away. We're in the corner of an end zone, and there's a pole in front of us, and there's also glass. It's one of the few stadiums where we're sealed in, and there's glare coming out of the glass. So I'm trying to figure out, what are they doing? And I'm trying to figure out who is where. I couldn't tell if it was the punter back. I just knew they weren't kicking the field goal at the last minute. And you just go try to make some sense out of it. You have Mike looking at a monitor trying to figure out so that we can at least tell people they scored, then go back and recapitulate all the different things that happened. But that was one of the strangest trick plays, when Brady flares out or screams out to Edelman, and then he throws the Dorsett in the end zone. That's easy. Well, when you see a flea flicker, we've seen a million of those. But I can tell you that in 43 years, I've ever seen a punter throw a touchdown pass to a kicker.
No, that's got to be I'm just wondering. It just occurred to me, Mel, they should give each broadcast team one timeout so you could call it and say, all right, hold on, I don't know what the hell this is. I got to look at this for a second.
I had no clue. This was a mess.
The other one that I want to ask you about, because you work with one of the greatest wide receivers I've ever seen play, Mike Quick. They actually accepted two challenges on pass interference on Sunday, especially that first one that no one thought would ever overturn it because they haven't all year. Merrill, do you know anymore? Do you have any idea what pass interference is?
It's whatever they want it to be at that particular moment.
You're right.
Although on the one that they overturned in the Dolphins' favor, I did believe they were going to overturn that because I thought it was so flagrant. Mm. The hit was so early. There are other times when it's closer, and even though you feel that it's one way or another, you say they're not going to turn it over. But in that one, I felt they would turn that one over, and I can understand. I can't debate the fact that they did, but the whole pass interference, they have got to reconsider allowing that to be a reviewable play, because half the time they don't get it right.
And Mike had to deal with it his whole career. He must be going crazy too, Mel, because he knows when an offensive guy's shoving off. He knows when the other guy's all over him. And I've heard him perplexed all season about this stuff. All season.
Well, you know what? Look at the pass interference. Look at the pass coverage. on almost every one of these plays, there are elements of offensive and defensive pass interference on the same play. One guy starts it, one guy checks the other guy. There's pushing and shoving going on. They could throw the flag on every one of these and call it any way they want. The only time they can't is when there's great separation. I mean, I saw Russell Wilson last night throw a touchdown pass. His guy was 10 yards beyond the defenders. How often do you see that?
All right, Mel, I'm going to end with this, and I know you've kind of covered this territory, but it's so important that the fans hear from the voice of the team this morning. 78% in a poll with thousands and thousands of votes are giving up on the Eagles. Could you explain to those 78% why they shouldn't?
They shouldn't because there are four games left. In three of them, the Eagles will be favored. And I know what you're saying about the Dolphins game, but they should have beaten the Dolphins by, I thought in the first half they should have had a 3-touchdown lead. They should have had to settle for a field goal in the second possession. So, yes, it looks bleak at times. But these are the Giants. And the Giants have lost not three. The Giants have lost 8 straight games. And I think that this crowd is going to be the 12th man for the Eagles this week. They will be roaring at Lincoln Financial Field. And if the team beats the Giants, Doug Peterson, who, by the way, is not as mild-mannered around these players as some people think. He is a very authoritative coach. He can peel the paint off the wall when it's warranted. But at any rate, he always says to the team, let's win one in a row. Focus only on this Giants game. And if they beat the Giants, it is far from being far-fetched to see them go down to Washington and beat the Redskins there. The Redskins had a blip in their schedule, and they ended up beating Carolina. But believe me, they are a poor team. And that means that in all probability, it will all come down to the Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys on December 22nd at the Lake. And I get excited just thinking about that moment. The season on the line, birds and the boys, and there is nothing more exciting for Eagles fans. Don't give up. If they beat the Giants, that's a whole different story. But don't give up now. I think you're 1 week premature.
Wow. Motivational words from the great voice of the team. Yes. Al, always an honor, my friend. Thank you, sir.
I'm ready.
Thank you, Angelo. Have a great day.
I got to tell you. Now, Al, normally, Billy, you've probably done motivational speeches, haven't you?
Yeah.
You have, right? There's a nice check for those.
Yeah.
Merrill could have gotten like 20 grand for that. I got it for free.
He did.
I don't understand how I made a bet on the Eagles making the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. You did make a bet.
I think Merrill's wrong. I think the Eagles are going to be favored in all four games.
Yeah, I think they'll be favored because of the 3-point difference. Yeah.
Even the Dallas game.
Because it's a home game.
Yeah.
And they
Time they beat Dallas?
But it's a home game.
Don't be asking questions when we're dealing with a separate issue.
If you're setting the odds, it's a home game for the division.
All right.
So if you're getting odds on, and Dallas has to win tougher games coming in, I think it's a really good bet for the Eagles to win the division.
See how Merrill already started
I bet it yesterday.
He's getting just, more excited.
I'm just looking at it and just thinking selfishly, like, Dallas, it's a mess. It's a bigger mess than this. I'm not saying it's great here, but that's a bigger bond. That's a bigger trash
You'll
bin.
You watch what happens with those numbers. Pretty soon, Al, there'll be 78% who have not given up on the season.
Imagine. I don't care about that. I care about the odds to make the bet.
Hey, you saw what Jerry Jones said about their coaches. Imagine if he was here, what he'd be saying.
Oh, my God. You never even thought of that. Hassan's on the line. Hi, Hassan. Hassan, are you there? Hassan has left the building.
Oh.
But Tamika is here, and she wants to continue this positive thought. Hi, Tamika.
Good morning, guys.
Let's be positive. What do you got for me? Tamika? All right, I got to put you on hold. Now, she was actually calling to rip Carson Wentz.
I know.
Warren's up next. Hi, Warren.
Hey, how's it going, Angelo?
It's going okay. I got to be honest with you. That kind of inspired me a little bit, Warren. You feel a little bit better?
I feel a little bit better, but I'd like to see some wins under our wings.
Well, unfortunately, the next game's not till next Monday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can wait for a win. That's no problem.
What are we going to do? You go. There's not a lot of choice. They're not going to play on a Wednesday.
You look at the Giants, all right?
They're a disaster.
But they are in a great spot.
Yeah.
We talk about throwing something. They don't even need the number one pick because the number one pick's probably going to be a quarterback. They have their quarterback.
Yeah.
They got the kid from Ohio State to rush the passer.
I love that.
And they have
kid.
The offensive tackle from Georgia, the other. So they can't win because they could lose a huge part of a 10-year plan if they lose one of those players.
That Ohio State kid is phenomenal.
Yeah.
For the first time this weekend, because I had company, I watched college football because I didn't want to talk to
I
the people. All of a sudden, I acted like I cared about Carl. Wow, look at number five at Ohio State. That guy's good. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Juan.
The reason I called is that the only name I don't hear on talk radio anymore is Chris Long, and I think he was the leader in that locker room for the year that we won.
Can thank Jim Schwartz for that.
Yep. Jim Schwartz alienated himself to Chris Long, and that's why Chris is not here. See, Juan,
he has a charity, and he was donating to different causes in the city. And he definitely had everybody's ear and attention in that locker room, including Doug Peterson. And that's what we're missing right now.
Great point.
The problem is, once Chris Long is here, Jim Schwartz is the second smartest person in the room.
Well, this is the thing, Warren. I don't even give Jim Schwartz credit for a Super Bowl. In my brain, they won despite Jim Schwartz. You look at the numbers.
You're absolutely right.
No team has ever had 600 yards of offense, let alone in any Super Bowl for either winners or losers.
Outing, right?
Warren, I would not have given him a ring. How's that?
I wouldn't have either, Angelo. And no, he kind of, was like in the back of the room and really was unnoticed, giving up, allowing all those points. And he stayed in the organization, and now when you don't have enough offense to put up, he's like standing there naked, and you can see him.
I'm with you. This is a great call, Warren. I really enjoyed it. Give me, let's see if I can get you to Monday Night Football. Give me a brand that's not hot anymore.
I have two, and one is the Slinky.
Slinky.
It's not big anymore.
No, it's still around, but it's not hot now.
They do that commercial.
See, nowadays, Slinky is in play. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's been kind of preempted by video games and stuff, but it's still really exciting to see the Slinky go down the stairs.
Yeah, walk downstairs.
That's very nice. And I'll tell you right now.
That was Philadelphia. It was invented.
Really?
Was?
Yeah.
The Slinky was?
Yeah, it was originally because it was some Navy thing here in Philadelphia, and they couldn't sell it. So they did. They were doing some gyroscopic thing or something, and then they put it in a department store like a magician. You stand there on a table, and they started selling them.
When Al has this much detail, he's making things up.
No.
Al, just to retract a little, who's the leading scorer for the Sixers last night?
I don't know.
But do you know the inventor of the Slinky?
Well, I don't know his name.
Seems to me you have information we don't need and other information we could use.
Yeah.
888-729-9494, Power 9494 on your AT&T Arise cell phone. When we come back, Al, I believe the guy that won the Sixer anthem is here.
Ah.
And we'll play for you what he's got. Now, we're going to turn that into some production magic over the next few days, but we will... honor him for his ability to write music.
Okay.
WIP Sports Times 818.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.